You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning and thank you so much for joining us. It is 6:06. Happy Election Day. Some much cooler temperatures today, but a whole lot of sunshine in store. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. We welcome you into the program. Whether you want to text or call 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you do call in today, make sure you wish our technical producer, Parker, a very happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Parker.
Happy birthday, Parker. That's exciting.
Yes.
23.
Do you remember 23, Brian?
23. I don't know.
Me neither.
Oh, good. I have a great year ahead of me. That's what it sounds like.
No, we're just old. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, I haven't been 23 in a
very
years.
Long 23 time.
Years. Say. We'll just say
in a very long time.
It's been a long time since I've been 23. Wow, you are a kid. That's great. Congrats. What are you doing for your birthday? Hopefully, you're going out and tying one on. You're gonna have a good time. You're gonna show up tomorrow all hungover and.
Well, you know. I don't know that I'm going to be showing up hungover, Brian. I will still show up to work at
5 o'clock. Calling in sick?
Okay.
I might call.
All right. Yeah. Give me plenty of time, all right? Because I got to find somebody to replace you. Yeah.
I'll let Zomers know what's going on.
All right. Please do.
Very nice. So what does a 23-year-old do for their birthday nowadays? I know what I did when I was 23.
Well, when you get a birthday on a Tuesday, that's always fun.
True.
So,
that's true.
Yeah. Might be going out with dinner with the family. But
that's lovely. Yeah,
celebrate over the weekend then?
Yeah.
I think with friends?
Going to a brewery game with a couple of buddies weekend. Yeah, I think we'll have some fun there. Not using the Civic Media seats.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
but
that's a bummer.
We are going to be in like prime home run territory though. So we're like two or three rows above the Brewers bullpen.
Oh,
so,
very nice.
Yes.
Are you bringing your mitt?
I'm thinking, okay, Brian, I got to ask you about this. I don't know. Am I too old? Is 23 too old?
Yes. You are too old to bring your mitt to a game. Once you're past 7, you're too old to bring a mitt to a game.
Because
then you become that creepy ball shagging guy who is trying to snag balls from a little kid, and that's not a euphemism.
And that's the other thing. If I catch a ball, I don't want to need to give it to a kid, but
no,
I will.
That's pure pressure. I think if there was a little kid who's missed a couple and maybe really, or just get the ball and then leave.
Don't sit around
this section anymore.
Yeah.
I could always run away. Take the ball and go home.
I think it also depends on who hits it. If it's a ball from the other team, do you really care that much?
No,
right?
I'm throwing it back.
No, you're not.
I know I'm not.
Then you're giving it to the little kid.
Yes.
If it's hit by Yelich, then it's yours.
Yes, that is very true.
Yeah, a home run hit by the other team, you keep and you give to a kid.
Yeah.
A home run hit by one of the Brewers, you just put it in your pocket.
Right.
Don't make a big show of celebrating. Just make the snag like you've done it a million times. Put it in your pocket.
Ignore the kid who's crying because you have the ball now and he doesn't, and continue to drink your adult beverage because that's how you should be doing the game.
Toughen up, kid.
There you go.
Well, here's the thing. These kids don't understand. Parker's been going to ball games. You know, he's old. He's 23 now.
When they're 23, when they're 23 and they can afford their own tickets, they can.
You may have gone your whole life without ever catching a home run ball. Why should, if you finally catch one, give it to somebody else?
Yeah. This might be the
first. Just because they're a kid. Why does a kid have ownership over all baseballs?
That's
just because they're young. They haven't done anything. They haven't been disappointed by life. They haven't been kicked in the teeth. This is Parker's moment to shine.
They don't get up at 3:30 every day to go do a big boy job.
Yeah, what responsibilities does a kid have? If have their dad or mom take them to the gift shop, buy them a Brewers
ball.
There you go. One of those, Most people go their whole life without ever catching a home run ball.
That's true. That's true.
It's a thrill.
You're onto something. And, I think
you know what? Knock them down too, Parker. Now that we're talking about why kids, I gotta catch the ball.
Why
you know,
should
you brought some
I?
Oversized mitt the size of a U-Haul and you're gonna slap it on your scrawny little kid arm and try to catch everything? No.
Parker, we have birthday wishes coming in. Roger from Stevens Point says happy birthday, Shaggy Parker. And he apparently thinks she's that look like Shaggy.
There is a
Scooby-Doo.
Picture of me that looks a lot like Shaggy, actually.
And Alicia chiming in over on our YouTube chat this morning saying, happy birthday, Parker. 23 for me was my first year in college. That was my first official year that I was working as a full-time employee. So, nice. Yes, that's what I remember of 23. Radio jaded me a long time ago.
Nice. I honestly have no idea where I was in 23.
Well, thank you, everybody. Appreciate it very much. I look forward to not remembering where I was in 10 years.
That means it was a good birthday.
Hopefully.
Well, no, it's I'm trying to remember where, if I had moved back. It was between
moving. You've been all over the place,
back
Brian.
Back to Chicago. Yeah, I've been everywhere, man, as Johnny Cash would say.
That's what I hear.
But yes, so well, happy birthday. I hope it's a good one. Thank you. You get a little chance to relax after work today.
Yes.
So. And then plot how you're going to disappoint children.
Yes.
Which would make
at the Brewer game or in general.
You
know,
yeah.
Start with the Brewers game as a blueprint.
Yes.
And then move on.
Yeah. And then good. That's just the first step. And then you can build from there. It's like building
blocks.
But
I'm going to. I'm going to ask Frank to make sure to censure you if we find out you took a mitt to the game. That is. There will be consequences if we found out you took a mitt to the game.
Is it that bad? Because I'm going to, like...
Yes.
Do you do that?
No, I never have. No.
But he's sitting in prime home run seats.
Exactly.
He is.
Yeah. So...
Then you got to be the man who catches it with your beer or you barehand it just...
Or, do you know how much money I'm going to be paying for that, Brian? I'm not putting a ball in that beer.
Wow, you are so cheap. You know your parents are paying for those beers.
No. He's not saying no. You notice it was a little bit.
Right.
Took a little bit for him to be
what
like,
no.
What
is a weird AmFam run?
Oh.
Right through you, Frank.
That's probably true.
I don't know even. I don't drink beer, so I would be the worst person to ask.
I'm thinking like 12 or 13.
Sounds about right.
That's pretty cheap.
Brewer's beer.
That's for a 24-ounce can, you're getting, you got to break it down.
It's also the Brewers, which were named for brewing, so you think that, somewhere in there, but I get it, Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but it's
I
not
think,
a charity.
I
they don't,
know,
they
this
don't
is,
know. They don't go
this
with that
true.
Nice charity.
I know,
no, that's
I know.
True. I saw, I think the Nationals, their stadium turned 21 years old the other day, and they had somebody who was born on the same day that the stadium opened come out for their birthday and have their first drink of beer.
Wow.
Instead of a first pitch, they did that.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
That's actually
that.
Yeah.
That's pretty. That's some good PR.
It
They've
is.
Got a good PR team
and
over there.
And that's the most Brewers thing that the Brewers didn't do.
Oh, they should have.
Right?
I feel like they missed the boat on that one.
I know.
Frank, get on the phone. Tell him that we have an idea for him.
Let me call him right up.
Marketing over there.
Yeah.
Like, I see your boys have dropped their beer prices too, Frank.
They dropped the beer prices?
Yeah.
Was it like $18?
I saw some posts that they dropped them a little bit the other day.
Frank is going to do investigative work now.
What, 10 cents?
Yeah. Hey, when you drink as many as you do when you go to Wrigley,
that's why there. God invented tailgates, so I could drink cheap and then wander in and not have to worry about it.
This is true. So I have to ask, because the Brewers are, as far as the teams in the MLB go, one of the cheaper, and $178 to go to a game for a family of four. But so what's it cost for you guys to go see your beloved White Sox or beloved Cubs?
I don't know. I don't go unless they're. I don't waste the money when they don't put any effort into the team. I don't. I watch it on TV or I listen on the radio. Yeah.
Jamie, that's actually a good question, and I know that the answer is out there. So let me look it up real quick. But there is an exact number. I know we're top three.
I was going to say, because the Cubs are expensive. John from Oshkosh chiming in this morning saying, happy birthday, happy election day, and happy Taco Tuesday. Well, John, listening on WISS, he's just covering it all this morning. Thank you for that.
John. I forgot all about Taco Tuesday. Maybe that's what you do for your birthday Parker? Oh,
maybe Taco Tuesday.
Ooh,
maybe
there's some margaritas Tuesday that could be had with those. Yeah. Oh, now we're
tableside
thinking.
Tableside guac?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, if really you, and if you go to the right restaurant, they'll bring out a sombrero and they'll sing to you with a guitar. I'm telling you.
My brother was in a mariachi band, actually, in high school.
Wait. What? Did anybody else just catch that?
What about mariachi?
My brother was in a mariachi band in high school.
Wait, what?
Thank you.
My brother. How does one get into a mariachi band?
It was, I
and especially, I wanna, hold especially on. How,
with
how
the
does a white boy from Madison
there you
get
go.
Into yeah. I'll say it. No, everybody else is thinking it.
Well,
no,
I was going to ask yeah. it.
Oh. I was thinking with the last name Olson, how do you get into a mariachi band?
Especially yeah. in the state of Wisconsin. Usually it's like, oh, you want to do a band? Polka.
It's the only Oompa band. Mariachi band.
It was like a bunch of high school friends. One of them, I think the guy that led the group, I believe, was Mexican. So, yeah.
Lederhosen and sombrero.
They were
good for him.
That's a look. He played the accordion, which
your brother or the
my
the,
brother. My brother played the accordion. Which one day he had got it from like the high school Spanish teacher, and for whatever reason, it stayed in our house for like years after the fact. And I had to bring it in to school, and we had to like get checked when we came into the school with like IDs and stuff. And if you brought stuff in, they had to open the box and look. I couldn't figure out how to open the, because I had to return it to the Spanish teacher. I couldn't figure out how to open the box for a good second here. So there's like a security guy going, somebody gave you a box and you don't know how to open it. I'm like, yes, this is true. I guarantee.
That doesn't sound fishy.
No, I guarantee there's an accordion in here. Just ask Miss Ferguson.
I'm just picturing Parker in Lederhosen with a sombrero on his head and a brat in the other hand. And then like and a margarita. And like, this is what I'm picturing
honestly,
in my head.
It's not bad.
Pretty good.
Then he busts out his accordion and does his Weird Al impression.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, your birthday's taking shape now. It sounded a little boring before.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I mean, we've come up with some prime
we've
ideas.
This into a rager.
We've got quite the idea here. I like it. It's gonna be a fun day.
It's good we could help you
I'm
out.
I'm still the Wisconsin mariachi band.
Yeah. I think they performed at Bratfest a couple times.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Can we get a reunion for, like, if we do a remote? Will they do a reunion and come in?
I'm not sure. Maybe. Well, we'll have it to could happen.
Gather the troops.
Wow.
They had a teacher that joined them, too, because he was a really good trumpet player. He joined them a couple of times. Mr. Reisling. Yeah.
Reisling is definitely a mariachi
I was
name.
Just going to say, that's definitely who I would think of in a mariachi band.
How many opportunities do you get to play in a mariachi band?
Exactly. You got to take the opportunity,
six.
Frank.
Six? Did six, you just six. Say six?
Six
okay.
opportunities.
Six.
I thought we were asking for a number. Just my estimate. What do I know? Hey, it's election day. We're going to be talking about that. And quickly, Jamie, you can go to the Department of
yes.
Transportation and get an ID. Is that correct?
Yes. The DMV across the state is going to be open until 6 p.m. tonight for anybody who wants to get their state-issued ID so that they can go to the polls. Because remember, you can actually register at the polls today if you'd like to vote and you're not already. So DMV is doing us a solid. You can go over to their website and check out the locations and check out wait times to find the one nearest to you. So if you don't have your state issue ID, you want to vote, you thought that was going to preclude you from doing so, well, nope, you can definitely go get that today. So love that.
Good. It's election day. Make sure you are voting, no matter who you're voting for. Tony Evers signed legislation about PFAS contaminations. We will talk about that and more. This is Daybreak on, well, I'm Brian.
Okay.
I don't know. You know where we are, don't you?
619, Jamie Martins at Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
We hope your morning's off to a great start. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to chime into the conversation today, you can call or text us at 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. If you download that Civic Media app, you can also text us through that as well, which might make it a little easier, and listen to a whole lot of really great programming from all across the state. It is 623. I'm Jamie Martinson.
Good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. Yesterday, Tony Evers signed into law two bills that released millions of dollars to address the growing number of PFAS contaminations found across the state. This is good news, and you might be thinking, hey, didn't he veto legislation like this before? Yes. In fact, the governor had vetoed similar legislation to this, but then, this is what grown-ups do, kids, he negotiated with Republicans to create a compromise. Oh, that's weird. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will now have the authority to launch grant programs, hire staff, and help communities remediate forever chemical contamination after years of disagreement between lawmakers and the governor on how a trust fund should be spent. At the bill signing ceremony, Evers said, quote, folks should be able to trust their water, the water that's coming out of their tap, and because of PFAS, that's not the case for too many living in Wisconsin. We're still learning more about the threats of PFAS every single day, which is why addressing this issue has been a top priority for us, end quote. Good for you, and good for yeah, everybody in the assembly for actually sitting down, looking at an issue that should have been a no-brainer from the start, and coming up with a compromise and getting it done. So
yeah,
this is good news. We'll start the show with a little good news today. Parker's birthday, and then
yes,
clean water.
Yes.
Two things that we like.
I think we can all be on the same page about Parker's birthday and clean water. I think that's easy.
Well, at least Parker's birthday.
I was going to say at least clean water.
Okay, all right.
Well, we should all be for clean water, but it was an issue.
Should be easy.
It's like, oh, stop.
What I love about this compromise, too, is let's be clear. Why I'm so glad that there was compromise. It took far too long for it to actually get there. However, they got it done, which I will always applaud. But what I love about this is that it actually unlocks funding that's just been sitting there for years, more than 1,000 days, by the way, for anybody who's wondering how long this actually took. And the state can actually now start testing water. They can start cleaning it up, and they can really start helping communities deal with any contamination they might have. And the key part about all of this, which I appreciate, which is why that it had to be renegotiated so many times, is because this protects homeowners and landowners and actually makes the companies responsible for a lot of that cleanup. That is why this was why it took so long to actually get there and get this bill.
Because God forbid we try to make the people who caused it clean it up.
Well, no, we wouldn't want to do that.
I thought we learned that in like kindergarten. If you make a mess, you clean it up.
That's what I was taught when I spilled my glitter and glue. Yeah.
Yeah, it goes away. Once you are a corporation, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Yes.
So this is great. It's they're saying like in La Crosse, in the town of Campbell, one of their supervisor for that town said before the bill signing that the legislation would be pivotal for communities like hers because there's been use of PFAS-containing firefighting foam at the airport, and that's tainted the drinking water for, she said, decades. How many fires are they having at the La Crosse Regional Airport?
That they would be tainting the water that badly, that it's become
that
big of an issue.
There?
Right. I think that might be a bigger question that people need to start asking. But
they're having a demo derby or something. Please just slamming into each other.
You know, I think it's interesting, though, because before this particular law, there were so many homeowners who were on the hook for any sort of cleanup that they had to do, even if it came from the industrial use. And so, you know, things like, I don't know, firefighting foam kind of feels like it's outside of a homeowner's responsibility and purview to have to do something about. I don't know. Call me crazy.
All right. You're crazy, but you're not. There's no reason I should be paying for what the airport or the fire department did. You've broke it. You fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You break it, you buy it. You gotta take care of your business. So this is good. And it's another sign that we can have cooperation and negotiations in our politics when you look at the greater good. I don't know how a lot of these issues that we are so divided on are not viewed as the greater good, but something like this that really everybody can agree on, we all need clean water, we can find a way to make a compromise. And the thing about compromise is everybody looks at it as a all-in, all-win or nothing.
Yeah.
You're either win or lose. It's not like that. You got to give a little. You got to get a little. And that's how, that's the compromise. That's negotiation. We should tell the president that,
yes.
Jamie, because he gave a little news conference yesterday. Now, if you'll remember, I said yesterday, I wish he wasn't going to be involved in this news conference,
right?
Because it would then be all about him. Well, I'm not that smart. It just was obvious that that was going to happen, mm-hmm. and it did. So we'll have some key takeaways from that. We're going to find out what's going on. And all right, this is a sidebar. What is he doing talking to little kids about auto pens and Joe Biden? And he has lost his ever loving mind.
But he's
this
always
was at the Easter egg roll yesterday.
Done things like that though, right? Where he's talked to people, the wrong people about the wrong things, and
but
made it very weird and awkward.
So are we supposed to believe then that he didn't talk to other children? I don't know, like young girls in.
Well, yes.
Just drawing parallels. That's
yes.
what I do.
Of course,
I
that's what we're
dots.
Supposed to believe. Of course, that's what we're supposed to believe.
Okay,
because
so he didn't do that.
No, he didn't do that. But he's willing to talk to kids about the auto pen and an Easter egg hunt.
That if that's not a skit on Saturday Night Live next week, I don't know what is going to be. Imagine this doddering old orange shell just talking to your kids, your 5-year-old who came there to get Easter eggs. And I tell you something else, kid. Do you know about the auto pen? Joe Biden, very bad with the auto pen. Couldn't even sign his name. Old man, ditzy. Who are you? Where's the Easter bunny? I don't believe the Easter bunny.
I just
He's
want
socialist.
The candy.
Gives away things for nothing.
I just want candy. That's all they wanted.
Of course. Of course.
It's 6:29 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. This is the Civic Media Network.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:35 right now. We hope that you are having a great start to your morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy Election Day. Remember, those polls open in about 25 minutes or so. So if you want to, you know, cast your vote today and you haven't already before you head out, before you get into a busy day of work, school, kids, all of that good stuff, please stop by your polling location, myvote.wi.gov, if you need to know what that location is. It is 6:35 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. Yeah, if you want to vote, go early. Go, and I, as selfish as I always am when I go vote, I like when I just walk in and out. But
oh,
then
yeah.
I think to myself, this is sad that I'm walking in and out. I should have to wait a little
right.
while to vote. We see countries where people wait in line all day to vote.
Yes.
So I hope you have to wait in line a little today.
They
and
also
that's not,
make it easier for people to vote in other countries. Like holidays, national holidays, weekends, all of that kind
Ain't
of stuff.
Ain't nobody got time for that. We
yeah,
got to,
no,
you know,
no.
squeeze it in.
That's
we
right.
try to make it as inconvenient as possible.
Well, of course.
And if some people have their way, it'll be much more inconvenient.
Yes.
So
yes, that's the unfortunate part.
Speaking of one of those people, the tangerine tyrant, Donald Trump, had a news conference yesterday at the White House, and it was supposed to be about the unbelievably brave and strategic operation that rescued one of our fighters. But he turned it into more railing and threats and him giving the order, which I doubt they were waiting for him to give the order. I'm sure everybody in the military, once that fighter plane went down, they had things in motion but he had to make it about himself. The big takeaway, though, was that he has basically said once again tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern time is the deadline for Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz, or that Iran could be taken out in one night. That is a quote. He also said he planned to bomb every bridge and power plant because they could be destroyed by midnight. And despite this, he never said if the war is still going
no.
or the war is done, if this is part of the 2 weeks. And he also said that Iran is an active, willing participant in negotiations, but it doesn't seem that way from Iran's point of view.
That certainly isn't what they're saying if you listen to them. And let's be clear, you know, we've talked about this before. Iran is not innocent in any of this. No, there was not imminent threat to the United States. This war is unwarranted, but Iran has not been an innocent bystander in any accounts, right?
So it's hard to trust. I don't think there's an argument there.
Yeah, it's hard to trust where the truth lies. At this point, though, I don't know, I kind of side with Iran, because as far as what is actually happening as far as the negotiations, that is what I side with them on, because I believe that we're getting a much accurate depiction of their stance from them than we are from this particular administration and this president.
Well, all you have to do is look, they're not giving up. They're not fighting. They've been fighting for generations. They are not going to. They're not going to roll over. They're not going to do what he says. They're not backing down. They're not saying, "Well, we'll think about opening the strait." No, we're not going to open the strait until we get reimbursed for all the cost of this war that you started over nothing. And by nothing, I mean no intelligence to back up what Trump says he decided to go to war for. There was no evidence of this, and so that's. When we say that, again, he didn't have any evidence to start this. This is a war of choice. This is a war to steal the oil. He's saying it out loud.
Yes.
Just go take the oil. There's no secret. He's not this big, sneaky, covert Machiavellian genius.
No.
He's an imbecile who gives out all his plans and then contradicts himself.
Yes.
I totally obliterated their nuclear program. They were 3 days away from having a nuclear bomb. What is it?
Well, how long has he been saying, just take the oil? He was saying that during his first administration. I mean, he repeated that phrase over and over again.
Yes.
He repeated it during the 2024 campaign cycle, where he talked about taking the oil. So if you're surprised by what's going on, you obviously were not paying close enough attention to what the man was saying, because he says everything he plans on doing out loud all of the time, which I don't know if you're his aides at some point. Are you like super excited about the president and him being so blunt with the American people? Or are you like, please don't speak right now? Please don't speak. Because at some point, somebody has to be like, just be quiet. Just be quiet, right?
Stop. There's not.
Or is there not that type of rationale?
That's how
anywhere?
The real world works, okay. Jamie. That's not how the administration works. Trump world doesn't work with any sort of accountability. It doesn't work with any questioning of authority.
Yes.
It's do what we say, or there will be, or we're going to jail a journalist for leaking a story. If you have a source, it's not leaking.
No.
You're reporting a story. That's what you are
First
supposed
Amendment
to
rights.
Do.
That's your job.
Well,
that's what you're
supposed to do.
Yeah. Yesterday was a little bonkers, and we'll get into that. We have a few texts rolling in here this morning. If you want to join us today and give us your opinion, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. Roger from Stevens Point says that Trump is getting worse. He has serious dementia, and he has the nuclear codes. Get out and vote today. We've also got Steve from Mount Horeb chiming in this morning saying Trump shouldn't talk about signatures. We were referring to Trump at the Easter egg hunt at the White House yesterday, basically talking to children about the auto pen. Steve says that his signature looks like a readout from an earthquake. We've got John from Oshkosh listening on WISS. He says, to the winner goes the spoils. This guy is an idiot. And then finally, Corey from Watertown listening on MDX says, is Trump really saying that he's going to try to take out the 300,000 bridges that Google indicates are within Iran? Yes, that would
Why
be.
Why are you coming at me with all these facts, Corey?
I said
I'm taking out all the bridges. I said it. That's it. Power plants, taking them out. But then he said we are going to have to rebuild. We'll be willing to help rebuild Iran.
Yeah.
So we don't want to blow up all the power plants, because that's going to be the hardest to rebuild and take the longest. And if we do that, it would take them 100 years to get back. But we should take the oil, and maybe we'll help them. Maybe we should be charging tolls on the Strait. This is all stuff he actually said yesterday, that the U.S. should be charging tolls on the Strait of Hormuz. What is going on in his addled little mind? This is how it's supposed to be, and that we're going to take over, we're going to do this, and It was a master class in my addled mind syndrome. It's like if you've ever had to visit somebody in a nursing home who's starting to suffer from cognitive decline, yeah. This is what is going on here. And I don't say that to be glib. I'm just, how can anyone of rational mind listen to all of this and not think that there's something dangerously wrong? Because let's be honest, it is dangerous to have this guy in charge and being kowtowed to by Pete Hegseth, who he called general yesterday. Pete Hegseth was in the National Guard. He's not a general.
He was also a weekend reporter on anchor, not even a reporter on Fox News. Let's just be clear about
he's got
who
good hair.
Who, about who Pete Hegseth is.
But he's a Christian nationalist. He is not qualified to be in the job he's
no.
in, and he is cosplaying a tough guy warrior at the expense of our own men and women in the armed forces.
Yes.
I'm not worried about it.
He's not worried about it.
He's not worried about war crimes
or nothing.
I mean, there were several things yesterday that struck me from his news conference, and I want to go back to what you said about the toll that he threatened for other countries using the strait. If you think about that for a minute, right, we're talking about the same countries who are supposedly supposed to be allies also of the United States, who also rely on that route, right? So, and we're now talking about charging them after a conflict that we essentially started, we as in the United mm-hmm. States, and escalated.
Well, him.
That's not.
He started.
we just happen to be innocent bystanders as well. That's not exactly how you regain trust of allies who are already very skeptical of you. And let's be clear, 20% of the world's oil goes through the Strait of Hormuz. So obviously our prices are going up here in the United States because, well,
Jamie,
disruptions. So
we have plenty of gas, Jamie. Did I not tell you that the other day? Plenty of gas, plenty of oil.
Oh.
Have everybody come. Hey, come buy it from us. We've got plenty.
But we,
I know we buy it from them, but we don't buy it from them. We buy it from us. We have it.
We can't possibly supply the world with what they need and still make sure that the gas prices in the United States don't get so astronomically high. And by the way, we are not the world's greatest supplier of oil. It's just not how it works. But I mean, how do... What I keep going back to is hopefully someday this man is not president and he is a aforementioned thought, right? And I say that not facetiously, but let's look at what he's trying to do with elections, right? So this is where my mind starts to go. So at some point, I hope he's not president. How do we possibly start repairing the damage that this man has done across the globe? We already have intelligence agencies that don't trust the United States intelligence agencies. They won't work with the U.S. intelligence agencies. They won't give us the information that we need. That started clear back in the first administration. It extended into Venezuela, which, by the way, was just a few weeks ago, if you've lost track of time. How do we rebuild all of this?
It will take a long time. I can't predict how
more
many years.
More rhetorical.
But it's going to take, right. But it's going to take a long time to get back to any semblance of our standing in the world that we had. We are now, have fallen out of favor. And this has got to be, as we watch all this unfold and we watch his decline and his dangerous rhetoric, this has to be playing right into Putin's head.
Yes.
We have been a superpower for so long and been the main obstacle to Russia just doing whatever they want. And we used to think that could never happen here. How do they get away with all this in Russia? And well, now we see that all you have to do is have people who are scared enough, dumb enough, uneducated enough, or just blind enough to follow whatever is being said. And now Russia has to be looking at it going, all right, he's going to make such a terrible blunder. The day that we found out and it was confirmed that Russia was giving Iran, the location of our service members, should have been the last day Russia was ever spoken about in a favorable way in this country. Any decent president, I don't care what party you're from, any decent American president would have shut down any relations with Russia. We would have embargoed the hell out of them, and we would have isolated them like Trump is trying to isolate us. That did not happen.
No. No, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to keep asking the question, because someday I hope that somebody in Congress gets a damn backbone. Where are they? Where are they for not protecting the people that have voted them into office? Where are they for not railing in some of what this administration is doing? I mean, when you look at not only this war, but you look at tariffs, when you look at with voting, when you look at healthcare, there is absolutely zero guardrails on this president. And if there's no guardrails here at home, there's definitely not going to be any when we get into a global front. And that's what we're starting to see. It's scary.
And there's no accountability for the Epstein files. And you can't keep blaming the Democrats, Republicans, because this is your boy. You're letting him do it. So you are just as complicit, and you will be held accountable at some point. All right. On that note, hey, you're watching a lot of TV at home? You could be on your way to dementia. Happy, happy Tuesday. It's the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 6:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning. I am Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. What do you do to fill your downtime? Do you watch a lot of TV? Do you do crossword puzzles? Do you do interesting, mind-stimulating things? let us know, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I saw this, and this is why it interested me, because I do, at night, I like to watch TV. I just like to watch TV while I'm scrolling and enjoy myself. Well, watching TV and other mentally passive sedentary behaviors, boy, that is right on my business card, actually. Those are linked to higher risks of developing dementia. While more mentally engaging activities, such as crossword puzzles, appear to offer some protection, according to this new study. The findings kind of shape what we know about brain health and aging. And Parker, you don't have to worry about this, but see, you'll get to my age, and you'll see a story like this and go, yeah, I forgot a word yesterday. Maybe I shouldn't have watched that extra episode of Paradise. Maybe I should have done a crossword puzzle.
Gotcha.
Or a word search.
Yes.
Or painted. Or done a mosaic.
Anything.
All the things that I should be doing instead of watching television. So they suggest that cognitive activity is important alongside physical activity. Maybe I should golf. You should golf. That's great. I have a lot of physical activity. I passed many cognitive tests, Jamie. Aced them. Aced the cognitive test. So this was published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine. So this is not some fly-by-night organization. They reported how much time they spent sitting with the people they studied, how much time they I jumped a paragraph. Wow. I really shouldn't have watched Daredevil Reborn last night. They followed more than 20,000 adults in Sweden. They don't have anything to do in Sweden and no good TV. Of course they're not watching TV. They followed them for almost 20 years to examine how different types of sedentary behavior were associated with the risk of developing dementia. Participants were between 35 and 64 at the beginning of the study. You do the math to figure it out. I'm not doing any cognitive gymnastics this morning. So the data was correlated with later dementia diagnosis, which was made in 569 individuals during the nearly 20-year study period. So this is, I may have to, for a while I was doing that New York Times connections puzzle. That's a good one.
Here's the thing. At night, if I get the opportunity to sit down, I play mental gymnastics all day long. That's what I do. Yeah. From the time I get up from 4 a.m. until I finally get a chance to somewhat shut my brain down at night. I don't want to do anything that makes me think anymore. I'm sorry. I really don't. I want to just sit there and not like just not have to think about anything and be mindlessly bored, or at least just mindless for a certain period of time. That's it. Yeah. That's all I want to do.
It's from 4:30 a.m. until, usually we eat dinner around 6:30, so say till 7 o'clock.
Sure.
I am going nonstop.
Right.
And we're dealing with this. We got to
yeah.
deal with what we're going to be talking about and the craziness. So yeah, when I sit down, do I just want to turn on the TV?
Yeah.
Sometimes I engage in the show. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, Instagram. Look, there's a puppy. Oh, that's cute. I like puppies. A puppy. And then I drool a little bit, and my wife comes over and pats my chin with a
and it's
Kleenex.
Perfect. And it's a good night.
Then I totter off to bed.
That's a good night. You know, and I find this interesting because my great grandma actually had dementia. She passed away because of dementia and age. But she played piano every single day for hours on end. And that's what she did her entire life. She still got dementia, which I would argue that piano is pretty mentally stimulating if you've ever done it. She played piano every day of her life for almost an hour, sometimes two. She sang, and she still ended up getting dementia, and she still ended up passing away. And the woman very rarely had a TV on ever in her house. Come to think of it, I'm not sure I even ever saw a TV in my great-grandparents' house. So I don't know. I'm not going to poo-poo science, because I do love science, but at the same time, sometimes the mind is just what it is, and sometimes those genetics also play a little role in havoc in life.
And so this study says you should try to choose pastimes that require active thinking. We already said that's a no-go. they say it could be as simple as reading a book, doing a crossword puzzle, playing a strategy game, speaking with a friend. All right, so if I say something to my wife if I go, did you talk to Molly today? And she says yes. And I say,
there
is everything okay?
My mind has been activated.
No dementia for daddy. Creative hobbies also pose excellent options. Knitting, drawing, writing, or playing a musical instrument all engage different parts of the brain. So that goes to what you said about your great-grandma. The whole thing. I love these studies because it does make you question some of your behaviors.
Sure. Yes.
Because there are times when I go, you know, maybe I'm watching a little too much TV, but considering I don't start till like 7:30 at night and I go to bed at 9:30 10, I'm not just sitting all day going.
Here's the other thing with these studies too, right? If I went by every study, I would have completely banned eggs from my life and then be eating eggs for nothing but every meal ever, because that's how these studies work, right? So again.
Yeah, coffee's bad for me. Coffee's good for me.
Right.
Is alcohol bad for me? Probably. Yes. I'm gonna go with science in this. Yes, of course it is. It's not good.
Here's the thing. Sometimes you just got to do the things that you enjoy too. Because to me, that's much better than trying to live by every scientific study that ever tells us what's good for us and what's bad for us. And I do believe in science. I appreciate the scientists out there who do this type of work, but. If I want a drink, I'm going to have a drink. If I want an egg, I'm going to have an egg. And if I damn well want to sit down and watch TV, I'm going to do that as well.
And I'm going to do all three together.
There you go.
Just because what else do
You're
I have
really
to look for?
Tempting fate.
Yeah, come on, bring it. You know, the end of a show, I've had an egg sandwich, a cup of coffee, a couple of cocktails.
And you got the TV on in the background.
And somebody just comes up and flips the switch, and that's the end. When we come back, headlines from around the globe and right here in the U.S. It is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. 6:59 right now. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. Remember, polls open in just about 20 seconds if you want to vote today.
I hope you're in line. Go.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.